Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading, 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord. Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he said to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and he came and stood before him. And he said, "Behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." This is the word of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome. It's great to have you at the IC, especially for this conference, Making Disciples for Life. So, Rome is a wonderful place, and despite all of the indulgence signs and the free gifts to skip purgatory if you go through this or that door in the right year, and the lack of references, really, of very, very few references to the gospel in the town, in the text. There are some here and there. But Rome is nevertheless marvelous. It preserves some amazing things. Not too long ago, one of the popes, I don't know if it was this one or just Benedict prior to him, but I think it was Francis, he allowed a tomb to be opened. In a church that lay over what was once a cemetery outside the walls of town. And they discovered in opening that tomb the bones of a first century man, and they also tested the clothing, and lo and behold, it was the first century garment of a first century Jew. That was the tomb of St. Paul, outside, in St. Paul's Cathedral, outside the wall. Now, there's another place, too, and records are quite certain about this. I mean, we can believe it factual that Paul, during his imprisonment, his house arrest, as it were, in Rome, he was just near the Tiber River by the Antonia Castle. I believe that's what it's called, not far away. It's a very famous spot. You'd recognize it if you saw the picture. But that's where Paul was. You go to the church today, and the actual, you know, building where Paul was residing is about 15, 20 feet below the current street level. But it's there. Marvelous, marvelous history. And you think, wow, this greatest, one of the most famous men of all time, this Paul, really has historical, real historical anchors. Pretty amazing. But there's something that's just as amazing to me, maybe even some ways more so. You know, going through the museum in the Vatican, you come across an enormous bath. It is red marble. It's turned perfectly, and it's about 15 feet across, or maybe even 18. It's Nero's bath. Same time Paul was under house arrest. It's Nero's bath, and you think, what kind of debauchery went on at that particular bathtub? And nevertheless, I think of Ephesians 4:12, I believe it is, where Paul says, writing from Rome, "And the members of Caesar's house greet you." Wow, and that verse just struck me as I'm looking at this. You know, who might have been there? Christians. Unknown Christians. Names lost. Little people. Yet in their vocation, bearing witness to Christ, right there on the Capitoline Hill in Nero's own. I thought of that when I thought of today's text. The real kind of hero of this text today is that little girl. She had been captured. What a horrifying experience. Captured by the Syrians. Taken into the king's house. Attendant to the king's wife. And there she is. She sees the deep concern over Naaman, the great general who had just defeated the Assyrians. The great concern in the royal house. What does she say? Why don't you call the prophet over in Israel? Samaria, actually. That prophet was Elisha. He got the double portion from Elijah. He was at work speaking the word of God for 60 years among God's people. The word of God does what it says. He's the prophet that said, Jezebel will die and dogs will eat her up. And because he spoke the word of God as a prophecy, it happened. And he did other amazing things, taking care of the Shunammite's woman, raising the dead, the incessant flow of oil to preserve a poor woman. And this strange story. Naaman takes a boatload of gifts that he's going to give for this healing. And being a good pagan, he assumes how it's going to happen. It's going to be like pagans do healing. It's going to be some kind of magical incantation. It's going to be something dramatic. It's going to be something very, very special. And he gets there, and what happens? The prophet tells him, the prophet doesn't even meet him. He says, just go wash in the river 7 times. What? That is ridiculous. Doesn't sound like anything special would happen through that. And he despises the mandate of his cure. And yet it's more little people that encourage him. Go. What do you have to lose? And he goes. I don't need to tell you how horrible leprosy is. I've seen it actually in the world, but horrible degenerative disease that rots away all soft tissues in your face, for instance. Takes fingers joint by joint. It's horrible. He washes and he's clean. He follows the mandate of the prophet, the word of God, and he's clean. And he praises Yahweh for it. This is often used as a text to teach us about baptism, and rightly so. It's about the Lord giving a mandate, a gift, handing something over and saying, do this. I myself have done it. I didn't need to do it, but I went ahead of you and went into baptism that I might fill baptism with myself. That when you go into the waters, you die and you rise with me. Paul speaks about baptism in the most extraordinary way in the New Testament, about it being a real dying and rising together with Christ. Not a symbol. We are therefore buried with Christ by baptism into his death. Paul says that repeatedly in his letters. And he says in Titus, it is a washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Ghost. That's the gospel. Baptism is the gospel. And why do we keep doing it? Because we have the Lord's own mandate. Go therefore, teaching and baptize. And today, I just want to remind all of you who are here because you care about the mission of Christ to the least, the last, everywhere, to the globe. Follow the Lord's mandate. We go at his direction. We go behind him. He is our master. He is our victor. He is our great Elisha. The work is already done by him. He knows where you're going. He knows where your words will fall. He's given you the words to speak right on your mouth. He's given you the task to do, to preach, to speak, to baptize, to teach. Let's dare follow. Let's dare follow. And we can't do anything else but follow because he's determined to drag us along. God grant it for his sake. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.